helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. If you want to find out what people's priorities are, one way is to look at their finances. Where and how you spend your money tells a lot about what you prioritize in your life. The recent spending package out of the House of Representatives says a lot about their priorities, and the American people are not near the top. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me today. You know, money tends to be a touchy subject. You know, there used to be a sense of decorum, you know, two things you don't discuss in public were, you know, religion and money, or politics, religion and money. These are the three things you want to be careful about, because it generates a lot of emotion. Well, guess what, man? I'm touching the money today, and there's very good reason for it. See, I've actually talked about money quite a bit in this program, but I realized as I was looking at some of the reporting on the latest House spending bill that we can actually learn a lot about the priorities of the people that are spending our money. Remember, under the Constitution, bills for raising revenue must originate in the House. And that has been expanded more by tradition than law, that says spending bills must originate in the House. Now, for those of you who remember 30 or so years ago, we used to do things called passing a budget. Right? A budget wasn't just a football that got kicked back and forth between the White House and Capitol Hill. The Congress would actually say, this is our budget for the coming fiscal year. These are our fiscal priorities. And then they would pass appropriations bills, because under the Constitution, not a dime can be spent out of the Treasury except on appropriation from Congress. There must be an appropriation bill. And we had the 12 appropriation bills, right? And the idea was these covered 12 major sections of the government. And the idea was simple, right? Take this ginormous budget, break it down into 12 smaller parts, and then we can discuss them, we can negotiate with them, we can debate them in committee, put them together into something reasonably palatable, something that you can actually get your arms around, and then pass that. And that would authorize that spending for that fiscal year. Well, the problem was as the federal government expanded all beyond its legal authority, these appropriations bills got larger and larger and larger. And of course, the other thing that happened is we ended up with, I can't say more partisanship. We've always had partisanship, but we ended up with more brinksmanship. It was learned that if you shut down the government, you scare people. I remember as a young man, I'd only been married to my wife a couple of years, and for her grandmother's birthday, we took a trip to New York City. Well, I say we. I was roped into it because having lived in New York City, having been to New York City many times, they thought maybe having somebody that knew their way around would be helpful. It was a tour. They weren't on their own, but we went down to see the Statue of Liberty, only to find out when we got there that it was closed because, well, the government had shut down. That's okay. We ended up finding other things to do. We had a really good day, but this has been used to scare people. Oh my God, they're going to shut the government down. Well, guess what? They never actually shut the government down. What they do is they furlough what are called non-essential workers. You know, those people who aren't necessary to the day-to-day operations of safety and whatnot. Of course, they get paid. They have to wait for the budget to the spending bill to pass, and then they quote unquote reopen the government and they go back to work and they get a paid vacation. Now, this became so effective scaring people that rather than passing 12 individual appropriations, we could put it into one giant omnibus or porculus, whatever you want to call it, one giant bill, and use this brinksmanship to get people to do what we want. And yes, both sides did it, but boy, I'll tell you, the Democrats seem to have done a better job in convincing the American people that if the government shuts down, it's the end of the world. Probably because they get a lot of help from corporate media, but we've ended up with it. And we spent, what, 20 years since, more than 20 years since we've actually passed a budget, which is required by federal law. And for 20 years, we've not done appropriation bills. We've done omnibus bills. Now, along comes Speaker Johnson, and he comes up with this idea. Let's take the 800-pound gorilla and cut it into two 400-pound gorillas. And that really hasn't worked much better. These mini omnibus, calling a 400-pound gorilla a mini omnibus is, I'm sorry, these are still omnibus bills. And they were going to cover, each one would cover half of the government. Well, now as the as Congress's, or I should say the United States Spending Authority was ending in at the end of February, they said, well, we'll do an omnibus for 1 week. Get us a chance to read this new porculous nonsense, and then we can vote on it and we'll avoid shutting down the government. So they've got a 1,050-page bill that is supposed to authorize funding in agriculture, commerce, justice, energy, interior, veterans affairs, transportation, housing and urban development, as well as some military construction and the Food and Drug Administration. I guess there's some other things thrown in there as well. So now that this is out and we're starting to see what's going on, let's see what the priorities are for the federal government. First of all, it is not getting our financial house in order. It is not reducing spending. It is not balancing our budget. It is not trying to cut the deficit. It is not reducing the debt. It is not reducing the load on the American people. It is definitely not fiscal responsibility. That is not their priority. But let's look at what is their priority. So, what did they actually fund? Well, let's see. There's a $1.65 million to artists' living space in New York City. You see, this is what's called an earmark, right? The Representative Jamal Bowman requested the funds last year, saying they'd go to economic leaders, or I'm sorry, environmental leaders of color, to create a 317 units of mixed income housing, arts, artists' living and workspaces, parking, and all that in New York City. Why is that a problem for the federal government? It's not. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a bribe. This is Jamal Bowman getting a bribe from the federal government, embezzling money from the federal government to get votes in his district. Now, understand, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 says Congress can collect taxes to do three things: to pay the debts of the United States, to provide for the common defense of the United States, and for the general welfare of the United States. Capital U, capital S, proper noun. The very same proper noun that said in the 10th Amendment, if the Constitution doesn't delegate the power to the United States, it's not theirs. Yet here we are spending $1.65 million of your money to create housing in New York City. Then you've got Kathy Castor out of the representative of Florida. She wants 1.1 million for electric bus charging stations in Florida. Let's see, the city of Norfolk, California would get $850,000 for a bus stop equity project. Again, nothing here deals with the general welfare of the United States. This is embezzlement. This is taking money and using it for illegitimate purposes, which is part of the reason why our spending is so bloated, but it's also why we can't get these appropriations bills through, because everyone's looking to fill up their pockets with taxpayer dollars. There's $1 million for the William Way renovation expansion project in Pennsylvania. It's to expand an LGBT community center. You've got $1 million for EV infrastructure master plan in Chicago. And he got another $1 million for a climate assessment in Rhode Island. Now, interesting, so far, these earmarks have all been from Democratic representatives. But I know they're not alone. Or, for example, there's a $5 million earmark for sugarcane research sought by both the Senator Casey and Representative Graves, both from Louisiana, both Republicans. According to some reporting, there's $15 million set aside to electronically track livestock. Now, this one is a little interesting because not only is it a case of the government spending money they're not legally authorized to spend. This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is embezzlement. But this one, people are concerned not because they're spending the money, well, but because you're tracking livestock and they're afraid that one day the federal government will use this to control how much meat we produce and how much meat we eat. And ladies and gentlemen, there's plenty more. This is just the tip of the iceberg. But understand, these are your representatives. You, ladies and gentlemen, hired these representatives directly. And this is what they're doing with your money. And what are we doing about it? Is anybody going to these representatives and saying, wait a second, what are you wasting our money on? No. Do you know why? Because the local people say, ooh, you're bringing us money. You're bribing us. Why would we vote against a Jamal? Why would New York City residents vote against Jamal Bowman? He just brought in $1.65 million to build living space. Why would Florida voters vote against Kathy Castor? She brought in $1.1 million for bus charging stations. Or the request of Alex Padilla, California senator, for the bus stop equity project. You see how this works? Alexei de Tocqueville warned us. He says this country will exist until Congress realizes it can bribe the public with the public's money. Ladies and gentlemen, these are all bribes. See, I started off talking about them as embezzlement, which they are, but the embezzlement is being used to bribe you, to bribe the American people. And as long as it keeps working, they will keep embezzling. As long as you allow these projects, this funding, this bribery to impact how you vote, we will get more of this. So when I talk about the deficit, when I talk about bloated spending, when I talk about these twisted priorities, I'm not simply talking about the people in Washington, D.C. The people in Washington, D.C. are doing this because it has been proven to work for decades to bribe the American people in order to get those other people elected. Do you want to know why this works? It's because we keep taking it. We keep asking. We say, vote. We'll vote for you if you give us money. Ladies and gentlemen, the federal government runs by bribery. And you, by accepting the bribe, are just as guilty as these representatives that are offering the bribe. So let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, what are your priorities? Are your priorities somebody else's money? Or your rights, your liberties? Are your priorities, you know, getting something for quote unquote nothing? Always forgetting that someone else is getting your stuff for nothing? But is that your priority? Something from the federal government? Give me my bribe? Or is your priority freedom, justice, the execution of equal protection of the laws, the blessings of liberty? Remember, the preamble of the Constitution said, we have this document to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That is why we ordained and established the Constitution. Not to line your pockets with goodies from the union, from the government of that union. What are your priorities? See, we claim to be the land of the free, but until we are brave enough to look the bribery in the eye, call it what it is, and say no, we won't be the land of the free anymore. And I'm not talking about tracking bovine. How free are you when your money's being spent into oblivion to pay off all the bribes that all the representatives and senators have made, that the presidents have made, paying off all these bribes to do things that the federal government is not legally authorized to do? Until we're brave enough to say no to the bribe, we are just as guilty as those representatives are. And if that hurts, if that stings, good. Because it means there's still a light of conscience in your heart. That the sacred fire of liberty has not completely gone out. But it needs to be nurtured, not succumb under the bribery. Now, I have to take a quick break here. Before I go, though, you know, I'm heading out for the road this afternoon. Once I'm done recording this, I'm hitting the road. And when I travel, I often don't sleep very well. So what I do is I use a supplement that's designed to support all four stages of sleep. Help me fall asleep, stay asleep, and sleep deeply so I can wake up refreshed and ready to go. That supplement is Healthy Cells REM Sleep Supplement. It's only vitamins, simple supplements, and it works well. Now, you're an America Out Loud listener. That means you can get 25% off your first order of REM sleep or anything from Healthy Cell. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop to get the details. And that was, again, 25% off your first order. There's a code to use, Out Loud. Get all the details. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. Find the advertisement for REM sleep or any of Healthy Cell's product, and it will give you the details. But if you want that discount, if you want that 25% off, use that code Out Loud. It lets Healthy Cell know that you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, they'll give you that 25% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, and sleep deep. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed ingredients supporting all four stages of sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code Out Loud. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutLoud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutLoud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use CofixRx because it works.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. We rejoin the Constitution study. Today, we're talking about the government putting our money where their mouths are. And by extension, us putting our money where our mouth is based on how we treat them. I talked a bit about the current budget nonsense. Again, it's another porculus. It's another omnibus. It's how do we get through the next few months? Let's keep kicking this pan down the road. But it shows a lot about the priorities of members of Congress, and it is not the American people. Then again, it also shows a lot of the priorities of the American people, and it is not our future generations. It is not our fiscal the soundness of our fiscal system. It's not leaving something to the next generation. It's give me goodies. And that's all people seem to really care about. I'm not saying everybody, but as a whole, we are more interested in getting bribed into compliance than we are in actually upholding the law, the Constitution, protecting our rights. We're not. There's another place we can see this, and it's quite obvious. According to a recent report, there are more than 8 million illegal aliens living freely within the United States. They have not been detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They are free to roam around the country. They expect this by the end of 2024, we'll have 8 million illegal aliens living among us. Now, at the end of fiscal year 2023, which was the end of September of 23, there were 6.2 million illegal aliens. 1.3 million of them had a final deportation order from a federal immigration judge, but they were still living freely within the United States. And by the end, by September of this year, the end of the fiscal year, that number is expected to get to 8 million illegal aliens living freely in this country. So when President Biden or Secretary Mayorkas or was a Vice President Harris or any of these politicians say the border is a priority, that's utter nonsense. They don't care about the... How can you tell? Well, they're not doing anything about it. They're not trying to close the border. They're not trying to... They're not even trying to deport illegal aliens. Those who have had a final order of deportation, they're not trying to get rid of them. What is their priority? Well, now we're getting into a little bit of speculation, and I think I'm fairly safe on the speculation, but I have less evidence for it. They want illegal aliens in the country. That's pretty safe to see. They want more illegal. How can I tell? Well, let's see. You have Biden day one saying, we're going to get rid of a policy that helped restrict the flow of aliens into this country. We have Joe Biden, the Biden administration, doing everything they can to help illegal aliens in this country. You know, if you're holding a door open for somebody, you're kind of encouraging them to come walk through it. Of course, you also have the cities and the states that are saying, hey, sanctuary cities, we'll come here. We'll take care of you. We'll feed you. We'll house you. We'll give you a stipend. The fact that you broke the law to get it, we don't care about those stinking laws. That's their priority. What's the priority of the American people? Well, for most of them, it seems to be whining and crying, but not actually doing anything. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden made no secret of his desire to allow illegal aliens into this country. But yet millions of people voted to tell their states to elect this guy. You're not interested in the border. That's not your priority. You have all these representatives that have failed to fund securing the border. How many of you have contacted your representatives saying, why? The border's important to us. If you keep preventing us from protecting ourselves, well, then we don't want you. How many of you? How many of you have said, wait a second, why are you giving three times as much money to secure the borders of Ukraine than you are to secure our own borders? See, they like to talk a lot. They don't seem to do very much. You can't even write a letter send an email to your member in the House? Well, they won't do anything. How do you know if you don't do anything? Oh. Well, he's from another party. Yeah, he still wants a job. And I bet you if he or she felt that their job was threatened by this massive influx of illegal aliens, they might do something about it. Now, it may not be everything we want, but would it be better than what we have now? I'd love to find out. But you see, the American people don't seem to make a priority of actually enforcing the law. Because when those who don't enforce the law or cripple the law, we keep them around. We don't fire them. Take, for example, what's been going on in New York City. New York City, again, I was born in New York City. I lived there for the first 10, 11 years of my life. I worked in and out of the city. So I was in and out of the city regularly for a good chunk of my adult life. I'm familiar with it. I still have family that lives there. Now, remember when when New York City said, you know what? We want to defund the police. Governor Hochul said, we need to defund the police. You know what that means? That means we prioritize people who are committing crimes over people who want protection from those who are committing those crimes. They also went through this thing called bail reform. Now, understand what bail is. If you are charged with a crime, then the courts may look at it and say, well, okay, here's your court date. What proof do we have that you're going to show up for your court date? Well, the answer is bail. You put up a bond that says I will appear for my court dates, or I will forfeit the bond. Now, most people cannot afford to put up the bond themselves, so they have to have what's called a bail bondsman, someone who puts up the bond for them for a fee, generally, I believe, about 10% of the bond. But the point was, it was to allow you to not be incarcerated while waiting for your court date. It allowed you to be out free with these restrictions, right, because of the bail bond. But you were out, you could help, it made it easier for you to participate in your defense while awaiting your court date. But of course, people said, well, yeah, there are criminals, alleged criminals, right? We'll say alleged criminals who can't afford bail. That's bad. Therefore, we have to reform it. Now, by the way, Mayor Adams in New York City, he ran on a platform of getting crime under control. And between the influx of illegal aliens and the bail reform, it's been an abject failure. So the other day, Governor Hochul said she was deploying National Guard soldiers and state police officers to the New York City subway system. Now, again, I've been on the subway system. I remember the subway system back in the 70s when it was a filthy, graffiti-covered, disgusting mess, and it got cleaned up. And now it's just playing a dangerous place to be. So Ms. Hochul is going to send in National Guard troops and state police officers to go to patrol the platforms and to do bag checks. Yeah, bag checks. A direct violation of the Fourth Amendment, right? Because you're talking about searching people's bags without due process. You're depriving them of the liberty to go about their lives without due process of law. Now, why is this show of force deemed necessary on the subway system? Because subways have become a crime-ridden nightmare again. Now, having more officers patrol the platforms, I got no problem with that. A police presence does help deter crime. Having soldiers on the platform, that one I'm a little less sanguine with. Why? Are we a police state? Is Ms. Hochul turning the New York City subway system a police district, a military district within the city of New York? And this idea that people, that these officers and these soldiers can simply walk up to you and demand to search your bag, that's a violation of law. That is unconstitutional. It is a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment. It is a blatant violation of the 14th Amendment. But it also shows us something else. It shows us Ms. Hochul, and I believe, but I have less evidence of it, Mayor Adams, are more interested in letting criminals walk free than your actual safety. Because if they were more interested, if they looked and said, listen, this is becoming a nightmare. You've got the crime in New York City streets and on the subways. But rather than saying this went up, let's see, we did bail reform. We did defund the police. We vilified the police and crime has gone up. Maybe we should stop some of that. Maybe we should try rolling that back and seeing if crime goes down. That's not their answer. Their answer is to not only bring in the show of force, which is, again, better than nothing, but to militarize law enforcement on the New York City subway system. That's where they're putting your money. If you live in the state of New York, this is where they are putting your money into letting criminals free and turning your subways into militarized zones. Now, I know there are those out there, the governor, I was a state senate majority leader saying, this has been great. Bail reform has reduced the number of people released on bail. I think New York City comptroller said only 1% of people released on bail under bail reform were rearrested for a violent felony while their case was pending. Again, state Senate majority leader said that number was 2%. And of course it's been, this is great. Even though crime has risen between 30% and 40% since bail reform took effect. Well, there was a report done by the John Jay College of Criminal Justice Data Collaborative for Justice. And it shows that 66% of people released under bail reform who had a recent prior arrest were rearrested within 2 years of their release. It also shows that of the people who had a violent felony arrest in the past 2 years and were released under bail reform, 67% were rearrested within 2 years of their arraignment. Almost half were rearrested for a felony. Now, it seems kind of obvious, but this shows that people who have committed crimes tend to continued to commit more crimes. But you see, this is lost on the people that the citizens of the state of New York and city of New York elected to represent them. And this is what they're getting. So rather than spending money on keeping criminals or alleged criminals off the streets, they're going to spend money to militarize the subway of New York City. And of course, why would that not expand? Why would that become the streets of New York City? And if it's New York City, why not Albany or Rochester or Buffalo or any? These are all major. What about the suburbs? What about Nassau County? What about other suburbs? How far are you going to spend the money to turn your neighborhoods into martial law zones effectively? Rather than, hey, listen, you've committed a crime before, you're accused of a crime now, how about we make it difficult for you to go back on the street? You've got a history. How about we learn the lesson? Well, again, because what is important to these politicians, I'm guessing, is not your safety. It's a combination of they want to look good to the Marxist anarchist craziness nonsense that is driving so much of the Democratic Party lately. They want to look good to them. They want to claim the moral superiority of, we're not putting, you know, we're not putting people in jail. Aren't we lovely? We're not putting people in jail. Ignoring the fact that there are consequences to that. Now, my question is that where you want to put your money? Because that's where they're putting your money. And what are you doing about it? Kathy Hochul just got reelected governor. I don't know when Adams is up for his next election, but I have to ask you, if this is not your priority, what are you doing to change the priority of the people that work for you? Remember, these are public servants. They serve at your pleasure. They're there to serve you, not the other way around. Maybe if a few of them lost their jobs for such fiscal malfeasance, maybe they'd stop doing it. Or maybe they would at least learn from their experiments and try things a different way. Now, I have to take another break. Before I go, though, you know, I've seen some really excellent articles dealing with Super Tuesday, dealing with the budget, dealing with a lot of stuff on AmericaOutloud.news. It's a great place to go. I go there every day. You should too, to get the news and information. But that information, that knowledge is not helpful. It's not powerful until we do something about it, until we do something with it. So do me a favor. Take those stories and articles, share them. Take the podcast, the video, share them as well. Share them with friends. Share them with family. Put them on social media. See, it's not the act of reading the news, but of sharing this information that helps us all secure the blessings of liberty.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. And today, we're talking about putting our money where, well, other people's mouths are. And it tells a lot about us. It's about our priorities. The people we hire to represent them, to represent us, what priority do they hold? And what are they doing with those? And it extends just beyond money. I mean, it takes money to do things. So when I see a CNN contributor, Van Jones, or I see a report about him, I don't actually watch CNN. And he talks about the Nikki Haley suspending her presidential election campaign. Now, how do you think someone would react to that? Well, Mr. Jones had a very explicit way of looking at this.
Let me speak from my heart, and let me speak from my head. From my heart, I tell you, this is a heartbreaking moment, and not just for people in the United States. If you're a Ukrainian soldier looking at a wall of Russians coming at you and having to ration your bullets, today is a bad day, because one of the great champions of the United States being strong for our allies, strong for democracy, just went down in defeat today.
Okay, I'm sure I could debate what Mr. Jones was saying, but okay, so his priority is, well, somebody who would fund Ukraine is not going to be president. That breaks his heart. Tells me an awful lot about, well, Mr. Jones's priority. His priority is not the southern border. His priority is not so much the American people. It's the Ukrainians. And actually, it goes beyond the Ukrainians.
If you're in Poland, if you're in Europe, and you're looking at a wall of Russians coming for you and saying, where's the United States? Today is not a good day. So from my heart, this is not a good day.
Interesting, when he talks about Europe, he talks only about Eastern Europe. He doesn't talk about the support that Donald Trump had given to Israel, restoring the relationship we had with Great Britain, moving the embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, talking about making the peace deals that around the Middle East. He's not concerned about that right now. It all seems to be funding for Ukraine. That seems to be his priority. That's where he wants Americans' money to go to. Now, he did talk about his head, and he talked a lot about the money and the donors that Nikki Haley has and what she's going to do with it.
So if you look at Nikki Haley, she's smart to hold her cards, to play her cards, to figure out, can she get this party to do something to keep America from abandoning democracy around the world? I hope she continues to play a constructive role. She's done a good job for her party and the country so far, but this is a bad day for democracy, not just in the United States, but around the world.
So in his mind, democracy around the world consists of Ukraine. Again, ignoring protection for other democracies around the world, forgetting everything else. His only concern is, are we funding Ukraine? That appears to be what he's saying. And he says it's a bad day for democracy because the man who, who helped the democracies in Israel and in the UK and elsewhere won the candidacy for the Republican candidacy for the presidency. All right, enough politics, because politics gives me agita. How about something else? And actually something I think a lot more sinister and a lot more disturbing. Specifically, it's the rhetoric. You know, I've heard plenty of people call people, their political opposition, all sorts of names. And again, it's nothing new. Go back to the 1800 election and just the evil words, the vile thing said about the presidential opponents were terrible. But I'm seeing something that's disturbing, because it's showing me some people's priorities. So I know I don't always do it. I try not to call people names. It happens because I'm human, but as a whole, I try to deal with individuals, not groups, and I try not to use names rather than, I'm trying not to vilify people, but their actions, I guess, would be the way I'm trying to do that. Now, this concern came to light because Steven Crowder released he got a copy of a Tennessee Office of Homeland Security officer safety bulletin that were sent to multiple state law enforcement agencies concerning with a bomb threat, specifically targeting Trump supporters. Now, this was reported in the Tennessee Star. I'll put a link to the article in the show notes. But it deals with, again, this is a single individual. The sad part is, I don't believe this person is completely alone. And it has to do with the vilifying of our political opponents. You know, it's one thing to disagree with others. It's another to call them evil simply because of a political disagreement. You know, and again, both sides do it, and I don't like it from either side. Sometimes I fall into it and I try to avoid it. But this officer safety awareness bulletin talks about a gentleman by the name of, I'm not going to use his name. You can read it if you wish. But it says that on February 29th, 2024, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, Memphis Field Office, notified the Tennessee Office of Homeland Security of a Guardian incident report indicating that the individual made concerning statements to his mother via text message. One of the messages stated, "Have been thinking an awful lot about rigging my van and bombing Trump supporters." An initial investigation revealed that the individual has experienced suicidal and homicidal ideations and also mentioned trying to obtain a firearm. Initial investigation has also revealed that the individual has an active order of protection issued in Waukegan, Illinois. The individual's criminal history indicates previous arrests for public drunkenness and domestic battery incidents. According to the subject's parents, he suffers from unspecified mental health diagnosis. The individual has several addresses associated with him in the Memphis Shelby County area. At this time, the subject is believed to be transient and has no known address. So here you have a disturbed individual, right? If he's got dealing with multiple unspecified mental health diagnoses, then he's not right upstairs. And I think he should be treated for those mental health things. But it reminds me of the man who shot up the GOP practice for a softball game or baseball game. These other people that are disturbed enough to take the rhetoric and turn it into action. So I think most people that use this rhetoric, they don't plan on doing anything. They're all what's the saying? They're all hat, no cowboy. You know, they're all talk, no action. And that's actually a good thing. But I have to wonder, if you truly think that a political opponent is evil, that's a concerning. If you believe anybody that follows that individual is evil to the point of being worthy of death without trial, without anything, this individual has a problem. But I think it also shows how we've allowed our rhetoric, our passion, to override our humanity, to recognize that, you know, I don't hate Marxists simply because they're Marxists. I don't like what they're doing to our country. I wouldn't deny them a right that I would wish to express. That includes, by the way, this gentleman, this individual. I don't think he, you know, that he deserves to have his rights removed because he has problems. I think he needs help. I think he needs to get help with his mental health issues, and that includes maybe being put in involuntarily committed to a treatment plan that for the safety of society, possibly. I don't have all the details, therefore I'm not sure the best way to move forward, but I'm not willing to deny him his rights. I see somebody that needs help. And sadly, I see one of two things. I see two things happening. I see someone who's listened to the rhetoric about Trump and taken it far beyond what it was intended. not all that rhetoric is true, but because of that rhetoric, this person is potentially considering some very dangerous actions. I do not, by the way, if something were to happen, I would not blame the individuals with the rhetoric. The problems they have is their own. This is an individual action. However, I'm also concerned that Trump supporters may use this to vilify their political opponents by saying, see, what you're saying about Trump has led this man to potentially do something very, very dangerous. One of the things that I personally ascribe to, and again, I don't always do it, I try very hard, is to look at individuals, not groups. If an individual does something evil, I call it out. But I don't necessarily blame all the groups that this person is a member of. Right? In other words, I don't blame all Democrats for the acts of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I don't blame all Republicans for the acts of Donald Trump and Nikki Haley. I try to deal with people individually. And I have to think about it. It's not automatic. But I think if our priorities are to vilify the other, we shouldn't be surprised when some people take it too far. It's been used too often in history as an excuse to allow evil to persist, evil actions to be taken, because we have turned somebody, an individual, into a caricature of the evil we ascribe to them, not because of what that individual has done. Frequently, not even because of what the group that individual is a member of has done, but because of our hatred, our bigotry against those groups. So you can be just as bigoted against the Democratic Party or the Republican Party as you can against Asians, Latin American, Latinos, or people of color, any people of color. I think we should consider that as we look at some of this rhetoric. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but from what I've seen, let's deal with the actions a person takes, not the groups that they are a member of. Because when we say all of this group or none of this group, well, we're guaranteed to be wrong. We are individuals, and we work along a spectrum. And I believe if you're going to live free, well, then you have to allow others to live free as well. Now, if this individual hates Trump supporters, okay, let's prevent him from turning it into action, but he has a right to hate Trump supporters the same way so others have a right to hate Biden supporters. But let's not allow that to infringe on the rights of others. Freedom and liberty are important, and it's something we should truly take more care in. Take more care in how we refer to others, how we treat others, not to infringe on their rights because of our own prejudices and biases and bigotry. You see, my priorities are freedom and liberty. It's protecting our rights. It's defending and asserting our rights, which includes defending and asserting the rights of others. Some people's priority is a political party. Some people, I believe, take that priority way too far. That's my opinion. But as long as they don't use that to infringe on the rights of others, I'm okay. Now, whether that be the how we spend our money, how government spends our taxes, as long as they aren't infringing on the rights of others, and it's within the law, okay, that's my borderline. How you deal with criminals and criminal intent, again, you can have all the opinions you want as long as those opinions don't infringe on the rights of others. If we're going to live free, We have to allow others to express ideas that we vehemently disagree with. As Benjamin Franklin wrote as Silas Duguid back in 1722, he said, "Without freedom of thought, there's no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech, which is the right of every man as far as by it he does not hurt or control the right of another, and this is the only check it ought to suffer and only bounds it ought to know." What are your priorities? Are your priorities rights and liberty? Or are they imposing your ideas and your desires on others? I think it's something we should spend some time considering, since it will have such an impact on, well, on all of our lives. Speaking of impact on our lives, I hope you come back and join us for the Constitution Study. Every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, we're on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. We also go to podcasts. Generally, an episode goes to podcast a day or two after it's heard on the radio, and you can listen in your favorite podcast app. You can also go to AmericaOutloud.news and find the show page with any links or notes that I've included. Now, do me a favor. With the podcast, subscribe to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews. It helps other people find the Constitution Study, and by doing so, spreading the word about what we're trying to do here. And you can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But this information, I think, is important. The way we discuss things are important. The trying to live with the liberty that was purchased for us by blood and sweat and tears is important. So please take those links, find the episodes, find the show page, find the podcast, and share them. Let other people know that there are other ways of looking at things, that there are other things that they can do to help defend and assert their rights. By sharing that information, you're helping to share the blessings of liberty, not only among your faithful, but among those you love the most.